This is the Radio Today programme, your weekly look at what's going on in the radio industry. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this episode, we're at Radio Festival 2019. Hear from Zoe Ball, Greg James, Simon Mayo, Tony Livesey and Alan Foster, BBC Radio boss James Pennell, and the minister responsible for our industry, Margot James. Plus, hear from Angelica Bell and Steve Parkinson, Roman Vic and Sonny, and many more at Radio Centre tuning in. There's also a trip down memory lane with David Lloyd's Radio Moments and more from James Cridland.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Yes, lots to come this week. We're on location in central London. You join us in the green room at Tuning In Conference, which is at the Pitch House Cinema in central London. Radio Today's editor and founder, Roy Martin's here with me. How's your week been so far?
It's been good. You say it's a green room. I know I'm colourblind, but it's more red than green, I think. But yeah, it's been good. Radio Centre Tuning In at the moment, taking place. We're just on a break, and yesterday, as we record this, was the radio festival. It was a good day, wasn't it? Did you enjoy?
I did, yeah. Very busy. Lots of people to talk to.
We had lots of sessions all day. The morning seemed to go 100 miles an hour. They were quite short and snappy sessions, but all good stuff. We had Zoe Ball kick it off. Greg James was there. Simon Mayo. The hosts were Tony and Anna from Five Live Drive. I thought they were good this year. They've had a good host every year since it's been at the library, from what I can remember. So yeah, quite good. And you've spoken to all those people and more for our podcast, which is coming up a little bit later.
Yes, on this podcast, in fact. So for the news lines coming out of it, we heard from the minister. You'll hear from her in a few minutes on this podcast as well. This review of radio sounds a little bit vague. We're not quite sure what it's going to be, but it's finally going to happen.
It was one of those moments where the press release arrives and you read like the first four or five paragraphs of the press release and you think, what's actually going on here? What's she doing? But yeah, a review of digital radio, which may or may not lead into some kind of decision possibly being made about the future of DAB. And I've had a few comments from people say, is this kind of a U-turn on DAB? Are they thinking maybe DAB is not all that it was supposed to be? And is this an excuse to look at IP and online delivery and smart speakers? Because, of course, when DAB started, well, a lot of recent methods started, smart speakers didn't exist. I remember launching a radio station in 2016, having the liners made, and there was no mention of smart speakers. So a recent update has added smart speakers because they pretty much weren't on air. So yeah, we'll see what happens. And what are the timescales for this review, do you remember?
So it's going to be starting in the next few weeks and it'll be concluded by the middle of next year.
Oh wow, okay, so that's a long time. I thought it was this year. Oh right, so we've got another 12 months of what ifs.
Yeah, sounds that way. The other news story, I suppose, coming out of the radio festival was four new Radio Academy fellowships announced. They went to Gwyneth Williams, who's about to leave Radio 4 after 9 years as controller. Also Paul Chantler, Betson Powis from BBC Wales, and Steve Tetley-Taylor from Bauer as well.
So the key to getting yourself a Radio Academy fellowship is to complain that you haven't got one, and then wait 3 years. And then you'll get one. Hi, Paul. How are you? Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah. And we must say as well, at the radio festival and here at Tuning In as well, lots of people have been coming up to us and saying, oh, we listen to your podcast every single week, whether they're, you know, top execs from some of the big companies and from the BBC or practitioners working at the coalface. So lots of people coming to tell us they enjoy the podcast every week. So hello to you.
It's crazy, isn't it? We just do this little recording and thousands of people listen to it every week. You know, there might be a future in this, in podcasting. You never know.
We'll see. And I suppose the other news story just to mention before we get into the guests that we've been talking to this week is Danny Baker. That all happened this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Thursday he got sacked. So he's not on Five Live anymore.
Well, you know, I said as soon as it happened, and this seems to be the theory now, is that he's obviously not a racist. He's an idiot. He knows he's an idiot. He sent the wrong thing. I've sent wrong tweets. We've all sent wrong tweets and deleted them minutes later. The only difference is that he's got lots more followers than any of us, and he's in the public eye. So he's done something wrong. He's paid for it with his job. And that's it. He'll be back. I'm sure somebody will hire him. But, yeah. The lesson there is to double check Watch your tweet.
Right, so let's get on with the show. It's nice to see you in person this week rather than down the line.
Indeed, yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere, in fact.
Right, so let's get on with the show. Lots to come here on the Radio Today programme.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
Well, what a way to start the day is Zoe Ball, only the owner of Britain's biggest breakfast show.
Well, we don't know that for a fact. It's not been Radio yet. I mean, it could be like the third or 14th by Thursday. We never know. Hold tight.
But the audience you've inherited is the biggest, but you've got some challenges because Chris might have taken some audience with
him. Well, exactly. I mean, if Chris hasn't taken audience with him, we'd be shocked because he's brilliant and I love and adore him. So, yeah, it'll be all we can do is do the best show that we can, and we're really loving it and really enjoying it, and we're getting good response from people. So, and it's early days, we're only 4 months old, so but I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. So I just hope that some listeners have, you know, I do get people who message and say they went away and they've come back, so you know, we shall see on Thursday. I wish it would just be out of the way.
And that news of Chris leaving it was beginning of September, wasn't it? It was the kids went back to school, it seems ages ago.
It was such a shocking moment, wasn't it? We properly really were like, what the hell? It was a real mic drop moment.
And we thought nothing could ever top that, but look at what's happened since.
Oh, I know. So it is brilliant. And I'm going to see him on Friday, actually, because we've got 500 words, which is his baby. He's chairing the judging panel, so I'm going to sort of sit at the back with it. So it's quite nice to see him. And he's always been my idol, so I always get a bit sort of teenage, sort of tongue-tied around him anyway. Hi, Chris. But no, he's always really supported me as well. I think the first time he ever interviewed me was on The Big Breakfast when I went from being in production to go and work at Children's BBC, and he interviewed me with Zig and Zag, and I have such a fond memory of that, and he's always been really supportive. So yeah, hold tight though for Thursday.
4 months in, the big question, have you got your kids listening to you yet?
Well, do you know what? Woody has heard it a couple of times when he's been on his way to college. He doesn't really do radio, Woody. He's 18, he does Spotify, does, you know, listens to his own tunes. But occasionally he's been like, Mum, such a really good show. Nellie has. She comes over for show and tell, which is about 7:40, but then she goes back to Greg James because Greg is her number one. But the fact that she'll even tune in to hear a bit of the show, this is progress. So I'm well chuffed. Yeah, because she in the beginning was like, nah, I'm not going to listen. So she does listen a bit, so that's good.
And you've got a great team assembled with Richie and Mike and Tina.
Honestly, Richie Anderson is my gold, and Mike Williams and Tina Ritchie. Tina Ritchie, because she used to do. Do you remember? This is what I always do.
Yeah, that's Nikki's wife.
That's exactly not Tina Ritchie. Tina Dehealy. Do you know what? We kind of looked around at who we were going to be with, and they are the perfect team. There's just the right side of naughtiness, silliness. Tina, if I hear any bad news, I want it delivered by Tina Dehealy. She's an absolute queen, but also great fun. Mike is wild as well, yet such a brilliant sports broadcaster. He makes me excited about sports that I would never really show an interest in. But also, and then you've got Richie in the corner, and he is so much more than a travel reporter. He is gold. He's just so, and the adventures we're going to have together, I just think it's just brilliant. And my prod squad, my team behind the glass, they are amazing. We are loving it, so I feel very blessed.
Final word for Jamie. When you were starting your show, I spoke to Jamie, and he, you know, I think he was doing a big charity walk across the whole of England or something.
I know, incredible.
And so he sent his best wishes to you. So he's got a new show, but you've got to be careful because he's creeping up on you with his audience when you assemble this
really
national audience.
He is. I know. He really is, and that makes me really happy for him because he's a brilliant broadcaster as well and a dear friend. And I miss him. We don't get to see each other that much. And with Amanda Holden at his side, I mean, lordy, they could take us down, but it'd be quite a fun fight, though, wouldn't it? Me with Richie Anderson standing behind me. There's Amanda Holden. Yeah, so he's brilliant, and he's done it a long time. This is the thing. I'm a lightweight. I did like two and a half years at Radio 1, 4 months at Radio 2 on Breakfast. So yeah, we'll have to see if I can stand the test of time here, and if I can last as long as Jamie, I'll be blooming lucky.
Well, good luck for Thursday for Radio.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm going to need it.
So on the Radio Today programme podcast, it's a man who's been talking about podcasts, but not only that, he's kind of in charge of BBC podcasts. It's James Pennell, the director of Radio and Education at the BBC. BBC Sound's been going 6 months, and you're quite pleased with how it's going, according to what you've been saying.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's had a really good start. But it's just the start. We're 6 months in. So if you went back and looked at the iPlayer 6 months in, I think they were like folding it down and starting all over again. So we're really happy with it. But the whole point with digital products is you launch them with a good enough product and you learn and change it. And we're aiming to make something really, really great.
And one of the things that you were stressing on stage just now was about wanting to open it up and work with the wider mm-hmm. industry. I know there have been talks going on to try and get commercial radio podcasts mm-hmm. and commercial radio stations on there. Is that going to happen?
Well, we're very keen for it to happen. You know, it's a negotiation, so I can't speak for the other parties. But, you know, our goal would be to have a platform which was there just for British audiences and for British creatives. And I think what we've seen from the way that other markets have developed is there's a huge benefit to scale. You know, frankly, the apps that can get on people's phones, on the front of their phones and their consciousness can end up taking a lot of the market. And so what we're saying is, you know, can we use the BBC scale to really support the British industry, whether commercial radio or podcast creators?
And you've been quite critical, or whether you personally are, the BBC has pulled some of its podcasts from Google, for example, because yeah. you're saying you want to own that. So isn't it a bit ironic to ask the commercial radio yeah. operators to give that control to you instead?
I'm glad you've asked me that, because we're very happy to be on Google. We're on Apple. We're on, you know, we're not in any way trying to unpick the open distribution model. Our issue with Google was that they were linking from search to their own podcast app, and they weren't even indicating that. So you just have a search result come up for, say, In Our Time. You clicked on something which had no branding that it was going to the Google app, and then it would play out in the Google app. And we strongly suggesting to them that's not an appropriate use of their strong position in search. So, but we're hopeful of resolving that, and if we can resolve that, we'll certainly go back on their platform.
But I suppose commercial radio could have the same argument. If you want them on your platform, they'd have to give up certain things that they can't control, or you'd be asking them to mention the BBC on their brands, which they might not be comfortable with.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't ask them to mention the BBC on air. And, you know, we wouldn't be proposing to take any share of income. We would be just opening up the platform and having, you know, we've got quite a lot of listeners there who aren't using commercial radio as much, almost by definition. So I think we would say it can only be positive from their point of view to, you know, be talking directly to some listeners who at the moment they struggle to... Not struggle to achieve, but they don't reach as much, I would say.
And without wanting to sound like a job interview, what are the challenges for the BBC at the moment?
Look, I think it's the same for radio as it is for the whole of the BBC, which is we're now in a market which is global, where you have the biggest companies in the world with unlimited money, in effect. You know, they can decide to go into a market and find a billion pounds to throw at it. You know, we're not in that camp. We have to have, you know, we're making some very significant cuts. So the question is, how can we make those changes, make those cuts, and change fast enough that we can bring our audiences with us and continue to deliver our public purposes? That's the challenge we face the whole time.
And in a former life, you had a short spell as the culture secretary. Mm-hmm. I think it was about 6 months. Mm-hmm. The digital minister's here today. You're obviously, part of your job is you talk to government. Yep. What do you want the DCMS to do for the BBC? How can it help it?
Well, DCMS has been very supportive of radio for many, many years. So we welcome that dialogue. I think more generally with the BBC, I think we are, you know, coming to the point where I think the country needs to ask itself, we've had shrinking money for 10 years. Do we want the BBC to play a smaller role in our national life in future? Or do we want it to grow? You know, wherever I go, whether it's audiences or stakeholders, they want us to do more, whether on fake news or online safety for kids or investing in British copyright creators. So if people want us to do more, at some point we're going to have to start investing a bit more in the BBC.
And the BBC, in terms of job titles, has changed from radio to then being about a director of audio and music, and it's when Tim Davey was doing it, it's back to radio again. Yes. Is it heading back to audio with BBC Sounds?
No, I think we like the word radio. It sort of, people know what it does. When it was Tony Hall, actually, when he came back to the BBC, we had a director of vision, and he just thought, it was before W1A, but it just felt a bit W1A. We even had a controller internet at one point, which is, if anyone can control the internet, then they should be applying for a number of other jobs.
You've got a new controller of pop music soon. So,
yeah, but I think it's sort of pretty clear what that does.
Thanks for talking to us, James.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Hello.
Greg, are you well? I thought you were.
Are you well? I thought you were. Yes, I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right. So we're getting all the big names at the festival this year. And I think the last time we spoke to you was probably at the Arias. And before that, it was just as you were starting your new show. But it's been a while now. Are you enjoying it?
I am having the greatest time. I feel unbelievably fortunate to get to do it. I feel a bit knackered. It's definitely, I needed a holiday about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. because I'd sort of done Christmas till April, and I said, right, let's just do a solid chunk. And I went, oh my God, I need to stop doing this for a bit. I need to just not, because then if you go, unless you're, if you're not having a life, then you can't come and do things. But we're just having such a laugh with it, and the listeners seem to be really, you know, on board. I know it's Rage Our Week and it's dangerous to say things like that, but, you know, I'm not so bothered about that, because it feels like we're creating a noise, and it feels like people are talking about it in the right way, and the way that a thing is perceived is incredibly important to all of us, because you want people to want to be part of it, and you want people to be like, oh yeah, I listen to that. Even if they listen to 10 minutes a week, they're like, oh, I am a listener to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, and I just wanted to make sure that we opened it out to as many people as possible, and we told people that they are welcome to listen if they are interested in things we're talking about.
Your first Rage Hours in that came out in February were pretty decent. You'd be happy with that?
Very happy. Yeah. I didn't really have a goal in my head. I just thought, be nice, they went up. The same would be excellent. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily keep saying this to the bosses, but I want people to who are listening, I want there to be lots of people listening, but I want them to all really love it. And whether that's 10 million people that love it, or 20 million people that love it, or 5 million people that love it, I want everyone to feel like it's a really great thing for their day.
And you nearly had a bit of a paddy this morning, because in unpopular opinions,
yeah.
this girl, well, yeah. I don't think we should even dignify by mentioning her name, but she doesn't like Alan Partridge, and you weren't too happy about that.
No, well, it's one of my foundations. It feels like one of my pillars. Really, one of my massive influences. Steve Coogan's a massive influence on my life anyway, but that character was just, it's you need to know Partridge in order to not be Partridge. But then also you need to draw on the bits of Partridge that are actually magical and brilliant bits of radio. You really do. So that hit me hard this morning. But it's nice, it's great to get to be properly honest, and we couldn't play the full swear word out, which is a shame, at 8:15. But I don't think I've ever told a listener to fuck off before. But it felt good. It felt really good.
And here's the
secret.
Maybe
I have a future career as a dangerous late night shock jock.
Yeah. Well, on the podcast last week, we learnt from Nick Pitts, the festival director, that actually his first choice to host the festival this year was Coogan as Partridge.
Oh, wow. I mean, I would have been here every... That's a way to get me here every single day for the whole thing. There's a weird thing about unpopular opinion is that people are very proud to say they don't like something that's incredibly popular. And I like that about unpopular opinion, because it gives people that platform just to go, I don't think I should say this out loud, but...
So have you got an unpopular opinion about something to do with radio? Because that's what everybody listening wants to know.
I fucking hate the Pips. I hate the Pips, particularly on Radio 1. Like, fair enough, put it on Radio 4 before the news, but don't have it on during a dance show.
And on the podcast last week, when we were speaking to the festival director, he was telling us about his guest booking for the festival. And I just want to play you this that he said.
We've also managed to pull off Greg James.
So is this guest booking policy, is this working?
It must have been... I don't remember it, so it can't have been very good.
Thanks for talking to us, Greg.
Thanks a lot.
Margot James MP is the digital minister, and this review is finally going to happen into digital radio switchover. It's going to start in a few weeks.
Yes, that's right. We had held a meeting with the industry in March, and I really got a good idea of the agenda and what the remit of this review should be from that meeting. They then had a workshop to involve more people from the sector, from both the BBC and the commercial sector. And we now have, I think, a clear vision of what we want the review to investigate. And it's very important that we get all the stakeholders involved so that we can map out the future such that radio will go from strength to strength.
And you've also announced the SSDAB trials are going to be extended, and we're going to get some legislation subject to parliamentary time to start laying out how licences for those multiplexes might work.
Yes, exactly that. We've seen from that we've done some pilot with some small multiplexes. They're going well. We've extended that pilot. I think there are about 20 around the country now. We want to see more. We want to see them go further. And we've extended that pilot to next year. And indeed, as you've just said, I'm delighted to announce that we are bringing forward the legislation that will provide the underpinning for this future as soon as parliamentary time allows in the very near future.
one of the biggest issues in commercial radio at the moment is about deregulation. A lot of the talk in the industry has been about the groups buying up other stations and the future, what those stations might end up in that they're going to be national brands delivered locally. Does the government bear any responsibility for the impact of some of those changes that we've seen?
Well, I think it's all about evolving with the changing technology and what's making the most of what's possible. Commercial radio has been the most strongly regulated of all the media sectors. We have to give them the freedom to flourish, to innovate. And if we were to do that without any regard to the needs of local sourcing of content, then we would be, you know, derelict in our duty. But we haven't done that. We have at the same time released the potential of very local radio stations. I've got a fantastic one, community radio station that serves my constituency, Black Country Radio. Fantastic. And that's come up the community way. And that's replicated around the country. And they should be able to access the digital revolution as well through small multiplexes, and that is all part of our plan. So I don't see it being a choice between national and local, not at all. The choice is between many, many different types of local and some kind of big picture national as well.
So do you think community radio would get deregulation next to free them up to do what they want in terms of their income streams?
I think that we will make sure that the regulation keeps pace with the technology that is open to the community radio sector. And we will make sure that it is fit for purpose in the future, as well as the release that we've given it currently.
And just finally, really briefly, there is a kind of campaign to save local radio. And our research found we could be looking at 200-300 people losing their jobs because of national brands taking over some of those licenses. Do you have any kind of sympathy for those people who are going to be displaced by the changes?
Well, of course I do. I mean, if that's the case, of course I've got sympathy. I think that we all fear the advance of technology from that point of view, and there is no doubt that you can point to examples where technological advance displaces people who, in their former employment. But I do want to assure people that overall, and I've looked at the evidence for this, technology does create more jobs than it displaces. And I'm confident that people who perhaps are going to be affected in the way you've just described will have other opportunities to pursue the media career that is right for them. And that's the important thing. I mean, we can't stand in the way of the march of technology, but we can make sure that the regulation allows for people to get the skills they need to join the next wave of technology, wherever that takes us.
Thanks, Margaret. Thanks.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you.
So we finished the day with Simon Mayo, a little bit of a look back on some of your career, but also we're talking about the new age of audio and the year that we've had. You've been one of the big stories. Did you find it strange that you've been this big news story this year?
Yes. I mean, yes, because I always thought I was a lifer at Radio 2, you know, so I was surprised to find myself. I would have given anything for it not to have been a story, but it became a story, so yeah, so it would have been nice to just been talking about other things, but I understand why people want to ask me about it. So,
and you were saying on stage it came along kind of at the right time, your conversation with Rick, and then developing into we've got this idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite late in my career to be launching anything, but that's what it appealed. You know, it was the start of something new, and I thought, you know, you're looking at gift horse in a mouth in the. Oh. If you're going to use an expression, you might as well remember it. I was looking a gift horse in the mouth. You know, I was unsettled, and they came along and said, "What do you think?" And I thought, "Okay, well, I'll go with it." And because it felt like an exciting thing to do.
And as it turned out, what you thought it might sound like when that vision was there in the first place?
Yes, I think it's even more adventurous than I thought it would be. Actually, I think they're doing some bold and interesting and innovative radio, and it still feels comfortable enough because it's still entertainment music radio, but equally it's very different, you know. And 8, 9, 10 weeks ago we had no listeners at all, so you know, it really is starting from scratch. But I think it feels different, and I think we're okay.
And I think I spoke to you probably at the Sony's a good few years ago now when you won Speech Broadcaster of the Year.
Oh, right.
And it was a change from what you'd done at Radio 1 to go to 5 Live and then be kind of recognised by your peers as an excellent speech broadcaster. So to almost reinvent yourself as a classical music expert is kind of, is doing that again.
Yes, I guess so. I mean, but like I said in the piece, the which your listeners won't have heard, but going to 5 Live from Radio 1 was a much bigger leap in my head than the going from Radio 2 to Scala. Because I'm still presenting music, I'm still doing entertainment interviews, I'm still doing that stuff. Going to 5 Live from Radio 1 was a serious business, you know, politics, economics, sport, important stuff, tragedies, all that. So learning the furniture of speech radio was far more of something that I needed to struggle to get my head around than it was them taking like a sidestep into this.
And how important was it for you personally to keep that 5 Live show every week that is a massive show and a massive podcast?
I mean, I always wanted to carry on doing that. And, you know, I'm very fortunate, I think, to have found myself in a position where there is still a show that people want to listen to that I've been doing for a long time. And the thing with Mark still works. You know, even though we're a couple of old white guys, we still... It sounds more contemporary than some other radio shows that that I hear, and well, people are still happy to listen to it. You know, we're very happy to do it. So yeah, staying. I still got my BBC pass. I still have to run from Scala to 5 Live to get there, and I'm very pleased to be able to straddle both. You know, I want to do both. You know, it's important that I'm doing my Scala job, but in my head, it's important that I've got the BBC card as well.
As part of the publicity for Scala, I think it was the Mail on Sunday he did an interview with. I think it was a little bit misquoted, but it caused a bit of ruction in the industry where you were talking about the partnership that you had to create at Radio 2, and you were worried that you might get put with somebody from local radio, and people got upset about that.
Well, the first point about that is a few people getting cross on Twitter is not causing you big upset. And the second point is, the point I was trying to make was one of equality. What I was trying to say was which I could have expressed more neatly, I'm sure, is that I was afraid that management would take someone who didn't have the same amount of experience. And what I wanted to do was to be, this is Old Testament language, equally yoked. So I wanted to have, and I, you know, that's why I wanted to work with Jo, is because she had the same amount of experience and she had the same profile. And I could well imagine a situation where some people in management would try and promote someone, and I didn't want to be the person against whom that promoted person was working, you know. But, you know, so a few people got cross, and then it got magnified. And I think in the context of the, you know, I've been a big supporter of local radio all my life, so if people chose to make a thing about it, then you can make a thing about it. But
great to clear that up. Thanks for talking to us, Simon. Appreciate
it. All right, pleasure.
So here we are in the hospitality at the end of the radio festival, and with the host for today, and not only the host, but their first time at a radio festival. That's a good gig to first time here, and you're hosting it. It's Tony Livesey and Anna Foster from 5 Live Drive. How was it for you?
I'm surprised we're here. I expected to be rushed out with a blanket over my head like Robbie Williams after hosting that. You know, to stop all the big cheeses offering us new jobs. But no, we're here in hospitality awaiting any incoming job offers.
The thing is, though, the fact that you introduced us, Stuart, as being in hospitality makes us just...
there's a rope there to stop the riffraff getting in.
There is. I think that's to stop us getting out, isn't it? One of the two.
The riffraff for going in the British Library and being very educational. That's the kind of riffraff I like.
So what did you learn today? You were sat watching all the sessions. What did you take away from the day?
I took away quite a lot from the day, actually, but I think the main thing, and it's been true of radio for a really long time, but it feels really relevant at the moment, is that it's looking forward to see what the next thing is. And it was called the new age of audio, and it suddenly seems like podcasts, having been niche for a really long time, are suddenly mainstream, and everybody's looking to say, what's next? Is it voice assistants? Is it how we make our podcasts? What do we do with radio? And it feels like one of those times where we really need to be peering not just into the near distance but really into the far distance to see what we need to be doing next to engage the next generation, to make sure that Tony and I still have jobs to do in a few years' time.
First and foremost, I found out today that I'm irrelevant.
Irreverent or irrelevant?
Well, both.
I've been telling you that for ages. Who have you found out?
I know. No, I don't know enough about the industry. I don't involve myself really, and I should do. And I've learned quite a lot today. I mean, it concerns me slightly about this acceptance, it seems, that linear radio is on its way out and that digital and podcasts are all coming in. My view, and I said this on stage, is that in order to have your Brexit cast and all these other discussion podcasts, real news has to happen in real time. And that's where programmes like Drive come in. Things have to happen in order then to be analysed and for listeners to be able to interact. Great that someone in their shed is doing a podcast about you know, putting ships in bottles and everyone's loving it, but the nation has to coalesce around something at some point still.
And your programme, The Running Order, gets ripped up on a daily basis because of that.
Well, it does. I mean, the whole Five Live Running Order, the number of late programmes that we've done, when it was the last big Brexit meeting in Brussels where Theresa May didn't come out and do a press conference till 3:45 in the morning. You know it's a long day when you're doing a two-way with Rod Sharp.
I heard it. I was on my way back from the airport.
You know that that's when things have gone terribly wrong instead of being off air at 7. But actually, we love that. And the thing is, I mean, you know what this is like. When something's happening, you know, the last thing you want is to be dragged away from it. You want to be sort of immersing it until the very end. So actually, while we may sort of protest for a joke, we love it, really. We love it, you know.
There are three words that do it for me. We're rolling busk while we get a guest, so that's probably eight words. But that, you know, I always say this about Drive. We're at the centre of the news, but we're not the news. We are orchestrating the coverage of the news, and, you know, it's a privilege to do so.
And how important is it to find different ways to tell that story? I know with some of the Brexit stuff, you teamed up with the sports team and you did it like around the grounds thing.
Yeah, that was one night, yeah, when we were late. And quite rightly, our listener base was split. A lot wanted to know what was happening in Parliament and a lot wanted to know what's happening in the Premier League. So I was at Parliament and I became one of the football grounds, if you will. We were at Anfield, Old Trafford, etc. And Parliament was just another, let's go to Tony, there's been another vote. You know, let's go to so-and-so, there's been a bad tackle. And that's how we flow. And that's what I love about Radio at Five Live, because it covers all the big stories, but it's informal as well. That's what we do. We take people with us. We you know, we explain the news, which I guess is what podcasts do, but we just do it in real time, and I'm not ashamed of that.
And we've taken the temperature. I think you went down all right, so you might get an invite back next year.
Oh, well, that's good.
Well, I hope so. Next time.
Yeah, the best bit is
Stu. I've got all the freebies.
I've got the flowers and the wine, which we're going to drink on the train on the way home. You do realise, don't you, that Stuart's going to take this away now, and he's going to edit it down to about 30 seconds.
I've used my best bits.
Pearls of wisdom will be lost, lost in the edit.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Day 2 of Radio Audio Week, and we're at the Tuning In Conference. I'm with Steve Parkinson, the MD of Bowers National Brands, and Angelica Bell from Scala Radio, a newbie to radio, kind of. You've done a little bit before, but this is your kind of first regular radio gig. How are you finding it?
I love it. It's really nice to be able to go to work looking rough and still work. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to put makeup on. But it's great to be part of Scala. Also, it's nice to be part of something new. You know, I had thought about radio in the past, but to slot into a station that's already established is great. But to be part of an inception of something new and exciting it makes me feel good and makes me really want to engage in it and work hard for it. So it's been amazing. I'm really chuffed that Steve wanted me to be part of it.
And so last year you got this random email inviting you to go to a cafe in a strange part of London, and you went along thinking, okay. And it turned out that they'd been kind of doing their history on you, that doing their search history on you.
No, they're really quite good researchers. I might have to get them into TV as well. But yeah, no, it was really random, and that's why I think I was intrigued, because you don't get emails like that or people saying we just want you to do this job, which was really flattering, but also made me think actually they think that I would be a good fit. And I trusted it, and I'm glad I did. And also it's a good story to tell, isn't it? You know, that good start and a good ending. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to what lies ahead and learning, and because radio is so important, so trusted by audiences and people tap into it. I don't think it's going to be a medium that will die. And so if I can get into it and really embrace it, I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
And Steve, you're swerving radar this week for this station anyway. For the rest of them, you'll be sweating as usual. But no rage hours for Scala. But the feedback seems really, really good.
Yes, I mean, anecdotally, the feedback has been great. The number of letters, like proper old-fashioned letters penned on paper, have been coming in, as well as emails, but also posts on Facebook and so on. I mean, I've worked in radio for nearly 30 years across all sorts of CHR, rock, dance stations, jazz FM, but I've never known a passion like this. And I think what's been really interesting is also offering commercial radio to a new audience. So we've had BBC listeners getting in touch from 2 and 4 and others saying, actually, we really like what you're doing. It sounds very different to us. And actually, we quite like the commercials as well. And for people to mention them positively is a new thing and great to hear.
And on your show, you're playing commercials and talking about sponsors and companies. That's a weird thing for somebody who's done a lot in the BBC, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is strange, but it's good at the same time, because at the end of the day, Scala needs these sponsors and needs these advertisers to make it a success. So I want to do a good job for them, also make it sound authentic. It doesn't want to be like a, you know, an announcement. You can embed it into the content, make it fun for the listener, and just embrace it. So, you know, learn on the job, get on with it and make it good.
And you can see on stage, as we just watched you, how enthusiastic you are about it. Has it surprised you how much you're enjoying doing this job?
Do you know what? I don't think it has. I think it's always something I thought I would like, but I didn't think I'd like it as much. And I just, it's everybody there. Well, I think also as well, it's the environment at Bauer Media. Everybody has been so lovely. I feel like I've been part of something for a long, long time, not just, you know, a few months, or, you know, how many months it's taken to build up to get us on air. And the support is fantastic. Obviously, you know, even with classical music, it's going to be names that you might not know, even though, I know classical music. But just no one makes you feel silly. You know, we all, you know, engage about the music. We've had presenters get-togethers and stuff, and that's what it's about, just everyone feeling that they're part of something. I mean, at first, yeah, it's like Simon Mayo, oh my gosh, Mark Kermode, oh my gosh. But they are just amazing and beautiful and amazing people. So when you feel that support in any job you do, it makes you want to do better.
And not only that, but you've mentioned on stage you're a KISS listener and you're a Magic listener. And you're in the building with all those presenters, and you could just walk into the studio and put yourself on air as well.
Babe,
you
put myself on air, dance outside the studio. Yeah, play another track, baby.
Now he's heard her. Steve, you let her have a go on KISS, maybe?
Yeah, well, you know, we like to move people around the business, so anything's possible. But, you know, what's you know, the serious point is Angelica embodies, you know, Scala Radio. You know, we've set out to have presenters that are all about passion and not necessarily professors talking at you or down to you. And I think that's the Scala difference.
Thanks for talking to us, guys.
No worries.
Thank you. Thanks, Stuart.
So I'm here with Mark Barber, Planning Director at the Radio Centre, and Heather Andrew from Neuro Insight. And this is this year's big research project from Radio Centre. Tell us what you wanted to kind of look at first, Mark.
So we were particularly interested in what effects can advertisers benefit from if they speak to people at relevant times with relevant messages. And we were particularly interested in that from a radio perspective, because 9 out of 10 listening occasions are accompanied by other activities. So it really does offer advertisers the perfect opportunity to engage mass audiences around relevant moments.
Heather, the study, so you wired people up, looked at their brain activity while they were doing specific things, and perhaps some different activities than you would normally do for your kind of research.
Absolutely. So mostly when people do neuroscience research, they have people sitting watching TV in a very sort of comfortable way. And we had people on exercise bikes, we had them chopping vegetables, we had them cleaning things. They didn't actually know what the subject of the study was. They thought they were just coming in to do those activities. But in fact, during the time they were doing all those things, the radio was playing and we exposed them to the ads that we were interested in.
And predominantly you found that where the adverts were relevant to what they were doing, they were more engaged with them.
Absolutely. A really stunning effect that we found that there's a part of the brain responsible for personal relevance, and that part of the brain was much more active, which I guess is maybe not surprising. But what's really important about that is that's one of the key drivers of what goes into our memory. If we perceive something to be something we can relate to, it goes into memory, and that's what was happening here. So it meant that both the messaging and the branding for the ads held in a relevant context was significantly greater than the same ads heard in a non-relevant way.
And Mark, what do you do with this research now? How does it help Radio Centre to get more advertisers and agencies involved in radio advertising?
Well, I think this sort of subject matter, you know, reaching people at relevant moments, is attracting increasing interest across the media industry. And So I think in this respect, it sort of addresses the issue of people thinking that conventional media can't target as precisely as digital media. You know, we can demonstrate, and you can through touch points, what people are doing around radio listening occasions. And this research now demonstrates exactly what benefit you get on top of the editorial effects of radio, which are already incredibly powerful, by adding in that relevance to the moment that listeners are engaged in.
And I guess the technology we've got now means that we can target advertising on streams by people's location, and we can perhaps also work out whether they're out running.
Well, I think you could do that as well. But I think there are some very basic approaches as well, which are, you know, time of day and day of week. At the very least, that's something you can control entirely on radio as much as you can through any stream channel. So that is another way of thinking about relevance beyond just different tasks and activities. And I'm sure it will have the same sort of effects.
I guess cynically, did we kind of know some of this already in respect of, if you advertise breakfast cereals at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's probably going to respond better for people who are eating their breakfast?
I think intuitively the study probably backed up something that we might have known, but certainly what we'd never done is quantify it. And what took me by surprise wasn't the fact we found a link, it was the strength of the link. And specifically, the ads that we researched were fairly average ads. They benchmarked on the 53rd percentile, so they were about as good as half the ads ever in a normal context. And in the relevant context, they went right up the 94th percentile, top 10% of all ads, making them real star performers. And it was the strength of that response that really surprised me.
I'm at Tuning In, and it's nice to meet them in person at last. We had them on the podcast a few months ago before they were starting the show. It's Roman, Vic and Sunny from Capital Breakfast. How's the show going so far, Vic?
It's fun. Well, because we chatted down the line, didn't we?
We did.
And I think, you know, you've got to think about how you're going to do it, how you're going to make it a national show from being, you know, just in London. And we were nervous to an extent, but really excited. And it's been everything we'd hoped it would be and more. I think the stories were getting in from around the country, the text machine's been going off, and it's so nice to have that relationship and that communication, that interactivity with such a wide audience. It's been so much fun.
I think when we spoke to you, you were excited about it, but it sounds like you were quite nervous that first morning when you went national.
Oh, mate, you will not believe. It was crazy because I was shaky. If you hear this, if we listen back to the top of the hour, I'd actually laugh at it. I was so shaky, and I was like, after the first top of the hour, I was like, what am I doing? This is a normal show. But that's good because it means that, you know, I was realising exactly what was happening. It's good.
And how's it working, Roman, technically? You're doing some kind of bits of split links and you're introducing the different people in different regions. Is that a big difference to what you were doing before, to add those extra bits in?
Yeah, it's work, but it's worth it, you know, and that's the... We want to be putting in much more work, you know, than we were, because we owe it to those people to be able to do that, you know, and if we're going to go in there and be like, look, this is the show you need to be listening to, and you've got to show that you're working for it. And you know, I'm proud of everyone so far. Like, it's tough. Like, it's really tough. And at the moment, it is learning. Like, that is all we're doing at the moment. Like, you know, I actively will say to anyone, please send me a tweet, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, do you know what I mean, and those types of things. And I think it's important. We just, at the end of the day, it's not like, you know, we're saying our product is the best. We're saying we want to know what is the product that you want to listen to, because it's not about us three, it's about the person listening.
And you mentioned out there as well, you were kind of mindful of the shows you were taking over from and the kind of history they'd got.
Yeah, of course. So there were fantastic shows, some of which, you know, are just as deserving as us to be able to take a show national. And they have such a stable hold within, you know, big places in the UK, far bigger places than London in the UK. And I think that was the main thing. We've got to do all of those guys justice as well.
And the TV advert where you're kind of floating around in breakfast cereals,
it's mad, isn't it?
That was all green screened or something, presumably, was it? So yeah. You weren't seeing what was actually going to happen and what it was going to look like.
Well, we'd had a briefing and we talked with the creators about how it was going to be, and it sounded so mad, and it's so in line with the way, you know, the show is. It is... it's crazy. It was so much fun because the bits that we did, we had to go on like treadmills, we had to jump on a treadmill, which you actually can't do, so it's impossible to put our lives at risk for that ad. But it was kind of crazy to see it all come together, because obviously green screen, you don't know exactly how it's going to look, but it's so colourful and wacky and great.
And something else you've done that's been a little bit different perhaps to normal was Summertime Ball act announcement. They were popping up on billboards all over the country, and you were getting people to tell you who the guests were. That's a bit different.
It was. Do you know what? It was very confusing at first, but it was. Listen, they did a good job in keeping it from us because they didn't want us to know, and they wanted that to come through. And there were a lot of moments where we had absolutely no idea. People were texting and saying, "Yeah, just seen Cliff Richard on the A40,"
and we were like, "No way!
Yeah, it's happened. It's done.
He's back.
Ashley Tables finally got the checkbook out. We've got Cliff." Like, you know. But no, I think it was nice. And listen, with anything, whether or not you like it, whether or not you don't like it, when it comes to creative industry, you've got to try it. You know, the only bad idea that you have is the one that you don't speak about. Do you know what I mean? And it's, you've got to try every single one of them. And I think that, you know, we tried something there, and I think there's definitely a lot of bones to that, that, you know, moving forward, you take even further. And I think it executed really, really well.
And I suppose the other thing that's changed recently is if you do something dreadful, you can't get called into Parky's office anymore, can you?
Oh, mate, I miss it so much. I miss it. I was with him last night. I had dinner with him. And, like, you know, he's for me, the number one person. Like, you know, he brought me into radio, and he basically showed me everything, what I need to do, and mainly what I shouldn't be doing. But, yeah, he's still very much involved in everything. He's still looking over everyone, so that's good.
Thanks, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
Here's Siobhan Kenny at the end of Tuning In. We're in the middle of Radio Audio Week, and it was a nice conference. You've got a mix of radio people and ad agency people here, and they've been learning things and getting a bit of kind of showbiz.
Well, that's the balance that we try to achieve, you know, and I think we've done it quite well this year. So we had the new breakfast, well, not the new, but the Capital Breakfast Show guys, you know, explaining a little bit about how they feel about broadcasting from London, but now talking to a nationwide audience. Really loved what Roman had to say about people from London can be a bit arrogant. I'm talking to the world outside. I thought they were great. You know, some stars from KISS, but also some serious research. Obviously, Radio Centre's new research on context in advertising, which is very important for us in talking to this advertising audience here, who are a little bit seduced by Facebook and our other friends.
And how important is it to get those messages across to them still about how effective radio is?
It really matters, Stuart. I mean, there is a moment where people think, oh, you know, but look at all these amazing numbers you get on social media. But now I think people are starting to question that a little bit more. And let's not forget, you know, radio is still being listened to by 9 out of 10 people in the population. It's pretty bloody amazing.
You've kind of pulled together all these events this week. We've had the Radio Festival. We've got more to come with the Young Arias and the Podcast Awards. Yes. How important is that in terms of squeezing things together on a schedule and saying this is a week about celebrating radio?
Exactly, by talking to this external audience. Sometimes, I mean, I've heard a few radio people saying, why does it all have to be together? The reason why it all has to be together is it really helps us in an outward-facing way to say, look at this amazing, dynamic industry and how much variety. An amazing radio festival yesterday to this conference was completely different, and then to the Young Arias and the podcasting. It's really a moment for audio.
And we've heard lots about the big stuff that's been going over the last 6 months in radio, whether that's talent changes or regulation changes and what the groups have done in terms of consolidation. I think we spoke to you in December before all this kind of happened. What role does Radio Centre play in that changing industry?
Well, as we know, none of us can stay still. You know, I think as Margot James, the minister, said at Radio Festival, it's very important that the government enables the industry to really, really thrive in the 21st century. I don't believe that. I know we're going through a period of transition, and for some people, that's not going to be great at the moment. But I do believe, because of all the opportunities we've been talking about here, the skills that people have that they've learned as in radio will be utterly transferable across us. And I really don't believe that we will be letting go of our local connection, because that's what gives us our USP.
All fascinating stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. Quick word, before we hear from James Cridland and David Lloyd about Clean Feed. Now, if you're in a bar, like I am right now, at a radio event, and you want to hook up with somebody in great quality and record something for your podcast or for your radio show, Clean Feed is a great thing to try out. It's great for OBs, interviews with guests down the line, co-hosting from somewhere different. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to connect in live quality audio over the web. You can even record as well, and it won't cost you anything to get started. 30 seconds to sign up is all it'll take, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within a few minutes. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist.
Hi, folks. Today we're going to be talking about TuneIn Radio, one of the best free music and radio apps you can get.
There's trouble for internet radio services. VTuner, the heritage company used by many manufacturers as an internet radio directory, for example. On May the 1st, VTuner's service apparently fell over for 11 hours. And Frontier Silicon, who used the VTuner service for their internet radio modules, used by people like Roberts and Grundig and others, switched just a week later to a different provider, causing great upheaval for listeners since all their presets suddenly stopped working and many products needed a firmware update. Bose's products have also ceased using VTuner's database as well. Peter Johnson, VTuner's CEO, posted quite a rant on the Bose website, revealing that the company charged 40 cents per product to VTuner, that TuneIn has a, quote, pathetic database, and ends by claiming, what these consumer electronics companies want is free, no matter how bad the quality of the service is, adding that it now looks like I will need to close VTuner soon. Well, that's bad enough. But there's also rather larger trouble for TuneIn, who provide an app, which I bet you have, as well as power smart speakers from Amazon and Google. Sony and Warner threatened back in 2017 to take TuneIn to court in the UK for what they claim is copyright infringement. And if I understand correctly, that court action is taking place this week, with the record companies being assisted by IFPI. The reported claim is that TuneIn is linking to hundreds of unlicensed audio streams, which could mean streams that simply have no licensing at all, or could also mean out-of-area streams. Many non-UK streams are audible in the UK, despite having no UK music license. Previous rulings by the European Court of Justice, which still governs UK law until at least the end of 2020, have said that providing an index to unlicensed content is a bad thing, hence why, for example, the Pirate Bay has been banned across Europe. TuneIn's own website is also pretty clear that it's only legal to use TuneIn from the US, and if you want to use it from outside the US, well, it's up to you. If this action succeeds, it probably means the closure of all of these services, and perhaps the end of cross-border internet radio listening overall. There's certainly trouble in the world of internet radio directories. iHeartRadio and Radio Player, which are operated on the radio station's behalf, clearly offer a good option, but aren't yet universal, either in terms of territory cover or stations included. Perhaps this will please radio broadcasters who wish to exert more control. But that will be bad news for radio listeners. It's worth watching how this plays out. And while internet is still a major part of radio's future, there may be trouble ahead. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today podcast, here's David Lloyd. Radio Moment.
A few weeks ago, the composer Les Reed died. He'd written many hits and was also behind the original County Sound song.
Here comes the morning, it's a brand new day. Fill it with sunshine, the County Sound way.
Les also wrote and performed an instrumental called Man of Action, which was adopted as the theme tune to the dramatic 70s pirate station RNI. But little did Radio North Sea International know at the time just what they'd be saying over that theme this week, 38 years ago.
The bridge and the engine room are on fire. The fire is taking control of the ship. The fire was caused by a bomb thrown on board from a small motor ship. A small motor launch with an outboard motor. We don't know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going to. But it certainly bombed us while it was here. Fire caused by a bombing in the...
How do you stay calm at a time like that? Not least at the final moments as the flames lap around you.
Mebo 2 is now abandoning ship.
The Radio North Sea International pirate ship Mebo 2 being firebombed by raiders this week in 1971.
Absolute Radio no longer carries football commentary, but they did until this week, 2016. So it was farewell at last to Russ Williams.
Okay, that is it from me. This has been 6 years of rock and roll football, 23 and a bit years broadcasting out of this building. It's been a total privilege. It's been a crazy season. It's been an absolute privilege to be with you, not only the last 6 years, but 23 and a bit years. Thank you for putting up with me. I will miss you. It goes without saying. I miss this building. I miss the team. But we might have a beer in a couple of weeks. On the way.
Farewell, Russ Williams from Absolute Radio. And how great it was when he finished his weekday show that all the staff lined the hallways and applauded as he came out of his studio for the final time. That's the way to say goodbye at a radio station. Now, what's that?
Gotcha! This, for the very first time, is Buzz FM 102.4.
I don't know where my...
Well, let's see. Pointer Sisters! And let's go Derby. And we have delays, by the way, on the A47 in Saltley this morning. Work on the Saltley High Street roundabout is causing delays, and that is going to be one heck of a problem this morning if you're heading that way or even there at the moment.
And coming up right now, we have the new one from Go West, and it's really nice to see these guys back.
Buzz FM launching in Birmingham this week, 29 years ago. Its life was troubled, and it passed through a few ownerships, and then the licence was awarded to Choice on a new frequency, then Galaxy, and now it carries the Capital brand. Brand spread, of course, is nothing new in radio. There were two Radio Caroline stations, North and South. But this week, 55 years ago, one of those stations arrived, then under a different name.
There he is, everybody, Mr. Pat Boone. That'll be the day. You're in tune with Living Loving Radio, Radio Atlanta, 201 meters. Now for the pretty little English girl that I'm married to, bless her little heart. Jim Reeves sings, hon. You're the only good thing.
Radio Atlanta coming on air from the famous Mi Amigo ship this week in 1964. If only radio sounded like that now. Mind you, it wasn't all like that.
I'm calling now Mrs. Steele, who lives at 25 Canadian Avenue, Gillingham in Kent. I hope your ear is glued to your wireless set, Mrs. Steele, because I've got special greetings going your way over the air from...
Happy anniversary to Radio Atlanta.
Now, we can't miss this one out. It's 1975, and the radio one, Mallory Park Fun Day, which wasn't that much fun after all.
Here at Mallory Park, David Hamilton on Super Radio 1.
Indeed. Welcome to the Radio 1 Fun Day Out from a very congested Mallory Park. You're listening to the music this afternoon on Radio 1 on our Fun Day Out from Mallory Park. We have everything here except the current bun. No sunshine, I'm sorry to say, but we have thousands and thousands of people, as you probably heard on the motoring news. Before we came on the air, you can hear some of them there. Mallory Park is closed, so don't come along and join us. We have not got room for any more. We've come actually to the centre of the racetrack here, down by the boating lake, because it's so hectic over in the Radio 1 caravan. With everybody's safety in mind, we've come over to the middle of the track here, and we're going to be talking to some of the pop stars, starting in a moment. Right, so welcome back to the David Hamilton Show from Mallory Park this afternoon. You've probably gathered that we have a slight amount of chaos here this afternoon, and one of the reasons for that is that with us we have the Bay City Rollers, who've flown all the way out from Bournemouth. Hey! We were all down there last night, and actually Leslie has been doing part of the flight. We have the most amazing scenes going on here this afternoon, as you can no doubt hear, partly going on behind us since the Rollers have been here. We have a little river surrounding two various parts of the track here, and the girls are actually swimming across the river to try and get at their idols. In the meantime, their idols are trying to get away, and in the meantime, we're about to meet our next guest from Slade, Nutty Holder.
The heartthrobs of the day, the Bay City Rollers, at the Radio 1 Fun Day this week, 44 years ago, and Radio 1's then controller, Johnny Beerling, tells me he still has nightmares about what might have happened that day. 10 years ago this week, prompted by an item on nostalgia-filled TV ads, Radio 4's PM programme chose to revive the theme tune, which hadn't been aired for 12 years.
Tonight, heads begin to roll over the Commons expenses scandal. A Labour MP is suspended and an aide to David Cameron resigns. The House of Lords confirms it has dodgy members of its own. And the police force that says you can hire hundreds of extra officers...
That's almost all from us. Tonight's editor was Eloise Twisk, assisted by Sarah Waitson. Don't forget, if the music you're listening to brings back happy memories or sad ones, tell us what they are. It's a space right now on the PM blog. This is PM. I'm Eddie Mayer. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 from all of us. Have a good evening.
I'm sure they've chopped that theme around a bit. Old Valerie Singleton used to hit the posts, no hassle. So, with 2LO launching in London 97 years ago...
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
The Tony Delahunty commentary from the fire at Valley Parade 34 years ago.
People are spilling onto the pitch and we can see the flames going up into the air there. We're getting reports outside that steam is going over and people are running around. They're running around beside us. They're running around all around us and people are saying, get onto that pitch. People all the time spilling onto the pitch. The game is stopped. Mickey Bullet, York, you can see above me. What can you say?
The whole stand is on fire, Tony. It's an absolute...
Primetime radio going on air on DAB 19 years ago and ending 6 years later.
In association with Saga.
And the Mental Health Minute aired this week last year.
Well, we're now going to hear a special message for Mental Health Awareness Week from Judi Dench, Lady Gaga and Princes William and Harry as radio stations across the UK, BBC and commercial unite for the first time.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks this week to regulars David, James and Roy, plus all my guests at the Radio Festival and tuning in. And if you want more from Radio Audio Week, check out the Radio Centre produced Radio Audio Week podcast series supported by Radio Today. You can find the link at radiotoday.co.uk or search Radio Audio Week in your favourite podcast app. Thanks for listening. From Central London, we'll see you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.